blessed to be in ministry for 18 years, and during that time, I've also been blessed to do a number of different things. I have started as an associate worship director, was a children's pastor for a while. I helped out in kind of an executive pastor role, leading staff. Went back to being a worship pastor, been a senior pastor. But there's one frontier that I have never gone into. Youth ministry. Now, it's not that I don't love the youth. I do. But there's better people and certainly much cooler and hipper people to teach your kids in youth group than me. There was one time, though, that I decided to help out with a missions trip, and it was a Youth Works trip that our last church took. And Youth Works does this thing where they bring kids from all over the United States to various locations, and they serve that community and love on that community in the name of Jesus and share the gospel. And it's really, it's a cool thing. And so our team was headed down to Dubuque, Iowa, the Quad Cities. And as that was getting close, we happened to be upon literally the hottest summer in about a 50-year stretch. We left and we got down there and it was, no joke, 105 degrees in the shade. Okay, now if you know anything about me, I kept moving my family further and further north because I like it colder and colder and colder. My wife finally said, enough, we're not moving any further north. I kept saying, you know, Duluth is a pretty cool town. So I'm not a person that likes heat. And as this trip approached, and knowing this heat wave was upon us, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed earnestly for relief from the heat. Not a degree of relief for the entire week that we were down there. Prayed and prayed and prayed for rain. It was the driest summer also in 50 years. Hadn't rained for 2 months. And it was strange because there was also this strong wind from the south, which was blowing all this humid air from the Gulf of Mexico. So you'd walk on the grass was crunchy and dry, the landscape was brown, and yet it was humid and 105. And we were the team that got to work outside. And we got to stay in a poorly air-conditioned church basement. And our work crew got assigned the van that didn't have air conditioning. And in case that wasn't enough, the church didn't have showers, so we had an arrangement with the YMCA. We would go over there to take showers, and that Y was probably literally 100 years old. Cool old building. But in the men's locker room, zero ventilation. It was hot and humid. And there was no way to adjust the temperature. It was one of those showers where you just push the button and the water comes out. And I think I got second-degree burns from, the water coming out, it was scalding hot. I would literally jump in, get wet, and have to jump out because I could not stand how hot it was. So then you get done with your shower, you wipe off, and you're in this hot, humid locker room. You start sweating. You go outside. It's 105. You get into your van that's not air-conditioned. And by the time you get back to the church, you think, why on earth did we waste our time getting cleaned up? And I prayed, and I prayed, and I earnestly prayed, and God did not bring 1 ounce of relief. You ever had that? You ever had that where you pray earnest prayers? Maybe it's someone's health. Maybe it's your own health. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a life change. Maybe you've got a loved one that's really in a hurting situation, and you earnestly pray, and you feel like God is not listening. You feel distant. You feel abandoned. Anybody ever been there? Boy, have I got a psalm for you. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 13. Psalm 13 to the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Behold the word of the Lord. How long, O Lord? How long? Maybe you have had an incredible week. You've just been on top of the mountain. Everything has gone right, and you can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The sun has shined down on you. You had blessing after blessing. It's just been an incredible week. Maybe, however, you come here today, and you relate a lot more with David's psalm. Maybe it's been a week of hardship. Maybe you found out some bad news. Maybe something's going on that is making you feel like God has abandoned you. Boy, this is where the lament psalm comes in. Before we go any further, I want to thank Pastor Russ. The past 2 weeks, you have been in excellent hands, getting well-fed from the Psalms. And what a joy and a delight it is as a pastor to be able to hand off the pulpit to quality and competent people. Thank you, Russ, for your excellent exposition of the Word. The Lament Psalm. Do you realize that the Lament Psalm is the largest single category in the book of Psalms? In fact, well over a third, 67 to be exact, are considered Lament Psalms. Now, it's one thing when the Bible repeats itself, we should probably take notice. But since we're kind of hard to learn sometimes, God said, you know, I'm going to put 67 examples of lament in there. Maybe we should take notice. Maybe this is an important category. Maybe it's important for us to learn how to deal rightly with our emotions when we lament. My guess is that each one of us has had seasons of lament, that each of us have had seasons that you're either entering into now, you're coming out of, or you're thanking God that you're not a part of right now. But everyone experiences heartache, sorrow, feelings of abandonment from God. And that's why this whole genre of lament psalm is so vitally important to us as believers. Because we can and should properly express ourselves to God. Most of the lament psalms start with the line, O Lord. This is a cry for help. It's like addressing your complaint. Oh, Lord. It's not, oh, Lord. No, it's crying out. And it's crying out to the only one that you know can actually do anything about your complaint. See, a lament is not just a complaint or venting of emotions. A lament is actually a prayer asking for God's assistance to provide emotional relief and divine intervention. Let's take those two just for a brief moment. Emotional relief and divine intervention. While we do not wish to be led solely by our emotions tell us a lot about ourselves. Our emotions are a good thermometer, if you will, of health. And we should pay attention to those, but we should be led by the facts of the Word. And point three is going to get to that today, of some application. But it's also to petition for divine intervention. Your soul is crying out, but not in vain. You're crying out to the one who can and will help in his way and in his time. Lamenting, it's actually being bold enough to share with God how you really feel and acknowledging God's sovereign control. God created you and God created me. God knows you intricately. God knows you far better than you know yourself. And so you aren't going to fool God. When you go to him in prayer and pretend like all is well, you're not going to fool God by saying, I can handle it. God created the lament psalm as an expression to him that when our heart is heavy, when our souls are in turmoil, when we feel abandoned, there are some good ways that we can express to him and we can circle back around to the truths of the word. Even though most lament psalms are clear as to what the complaint is, even though the problems are real and the pain is unmistakable, a lament psalm does not end with a complaint. The common theme of nearly every lament psalm is that it turns to acknowledge God's past goodness and his sovereign control. We don't end in lament. We acknowledge it. Walter Brueggemann, theologian, defines lament psalms in this way. It's an act of bold faith on the one hand because it insists that the world must be experienced as it really is and not in some pretend way. On the other hand, it's bold because it insists that all such experiences of disorder are a proper subject for discourse with God. In other words, we can and should talk to him. There's nothing out of bounds, Brueggemann says. Nothing precludes or is inappropriate. Everything belongs in the conversation of heart. And he goes on to say, to withhold parts of life from that conversation is in fact to withhold part of life from the sovereign God. So I want to look at three points that the psalmist bears in his prayer and that we can take away when we lament. The first, speak your complaint directly to God. Speak your complaint directly to God. You ever had a complaint? I mean a really good complaint. Not just your average complaint, but like you got a good thing to complain about. You know somebody has totally wronged you. You are justified in your complaint. And man, you can complain really good, right? And you complain to your friends, you complain to your family, you complain to your neighbor, you complain to your Bible study, you even spiritualize it by forming it in prayer requests. Yeah, we've all done this, right? We have complained, but you know what? Here's the most important question. Before you take your complaint to anyone, have you taken your complaint to God? Have you taken that complaint to God? Because before we go sharing our complaint about someone or something, I believe it's very necessary for us to take that to God. What happens should we not speak directly to God? Well, we're prone to gossip, slander, respond in anger, and malice. All of those things, according to the scriptures, our sinful behavior. But when I take my complaint to God about a certain situation or an individual, what I find is God starts changing my heart. And it's much harder than to speak ill of someone to someone else. Take your complaint directly to God. David starts out, "How long, O Lord?" And here's an interesting study. Do a word study. Most of the time, when people are addressing God, they do not use the highest and holiest name of God because that's reserved for something incredibly special. But they use the word Adonai, but not here. David is using the highest, holiest name, Yahweh. Now, to give you a little bit of perspective on how holy this name is, the Old Testament scribes, when they would write Yahweh, they would bathe before they wrote that word. Think about that. David is going directly to the highest, holiest name of God. He's addressing his complaint there. So what is David's complaint? Let's take a look. First, he feels like he's been forgotten by God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You ever feel forgotten by God? You ever feel like you've been put out on that island? And you've sent up the flares. You've tried to signal with that little tiny mirror. You've tried to do everything that survival techniques tell you. And of course, none have worked. That's a real feeling. It's okay to feel that way. Let's not stay stuck there. But express to God, I feel forgotten. I have not heard your voice. I've not felt your presence in my life. It's okay to let God know how you truly feel. David also feels like God is no longer present. If you look at the second part of verse 1, how long will you hide your face from me? Feel like God is hidden in your life right now? Feel like you're going through the valley of the shadow of death? God is right there with you. Talk to him about how you feel. David did. David took it right to God. What else is David's complaint? Verse 2, he doesn't feel like he's actually heard from God in a long time. If you had a season of prayer that's been fruitful, nothing encourages you more when you pray and God answers those prayers or speaks to you and you feel like you're walking intimately with God. Those are rich, beautiful times, but have you also had the opposite? Where you pray and you feel like those prayers are just lost in the air. You pray and you feel like there's no answer. You pray and you feel alone, like you haven't heard from God in a while. You almost want to say, what, did you get too busy to forget and you forgot about me? God is still there, even in the lowest valley, as we sung earlier in that new song. Well, David also has a heart of sorrow. If you feel forgotten by God, if you feel like God is no longer present, if you haven't heard from God in a while, it is bound to produce a heart of sorrow, is it not? Listen to your heart. There may be something there that you need to express to God verbally. David says, how long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? This is a guy that has a sorrowful heart. But he doesn't stay there. You see, one of the things that we have to learn about Lament Psalm is it's okay to question the character and the activity of God. It's okay to question. It's okay to even yell at God. God, why have you abandoned me? Once we get to the imprecatory psalms, boy, watch out how people speak to God. But be prepared. God will answer. Cry out to God. It's okay to question him. Remember Job? If you go through the whole entire book of Job, there is chapter after chapter after chapter of either Job getting accused or Job questioning God. But be prepared. When God speaks, as he did in chapter 33 of Job, you might just be leveled to the ground. And Job says, I must be silent. It's okay to question God. That's fine. Be prepared. He's going to answer in his time and his way. Second point, ask God for specific help. Ask God for specific help. How many of you have ever bought a house or a car? Pretty much all of us, right? Now, you didn't just generally say, you know, I want a house. It doesn't really matter how big. It doesn't matter what the features are. It doesn't matter the location. You bought a car, and you did. As it's been hot here, how many people are appreciative of the air conditioner in your car? Amen. You want specific things out of your house. You want specific things out of your car. You want to be safe when you drive. You want to have comfort. Maybe a little power and a little fun for dad. I don't know, but the thing is, you want specific things. Why is it then that when we can be very detailed in one thing, but then we get very general with God, oh God, I need your help. And he's saying, yeah. Oh, help me, God. Okay, what do you need, Dave? Oh, I'm feeling blue. Okay, tell me what's going on. And I just am too general with God. You know, this is a point where you may have to do a little bit of soul searching to be able to articulate why you're hurting. Don't be afraid to take a look internally. Because then you don't want to stay there. You want to express that upward to God. We can ask God for specific help. And here's what I want to encourage you. When we are feeling like God has left us, you see, in this first part of the psalm, David is expressing, man, I feel like I'm forgotten. I feel like you're abandoned me. David is asking for some specific help here. So how do you regain a sense of God's presence in your life? When you go through that dry time, when you go through that lowest valley, how do you start to regain that presence of God back in your life? Well, here's a few suggestions that I take away from Psalm 13. One, voice your complaint to God and do it honestly. Do it honestly. Again, don't beat around the bush with God. He already knows the situation. He's waiting for you, his child, to come to him and say, Abba, Father, I need you. I need specific help. Let me be honest with what's going on. I look at Psalm 13 and I see a lot of honesty. David is expressing how he feels. He doesn't stay there. But he's voicing his complaint to God. He's being honest with him. Think about, remember, Mary and Martha had a brother, Lazarus, and he died. Jesus goes and visits them. And what does Mary do? Mary has the audacity to come to Jesus and to voice her complaint and do so honestly. You know, I think there's far more emotion than what the text tells us. You know, we can read this as, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't think that's Mary. I don't think that's who Mary is, if you do a little study on Mary. I think she was emotional. Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. But even she says, but I know I'll see him again in the resurrection. There's that moment where she shifts. Voice your complaint honestly to God. Don't withhold. If you need to scream and yell, it's okay. But then how else do you regain the presence of God in your life? I would say turn your attention to helping others. Go help somebody put on a roof. Go help somebody with yard work. Go help somebody who just needs a little extra care and a little extra assistance. And don't do it for you. Do it for them. Because what happens in return, you are blessed. Has that ever happened to you? You go, you help out, you minister, and you think you're doing something to these people, but they in turn bless you. I believe that's the way God had created it. That when we actually step out in faith and want to turn our attention to helping others, God has said, the blessing's not just for them. The blessing's also for you. Another way that you can reconnect with God is catch a glimpse of God in others. Our congregation is replete with people who are full of godly character, who are full of joy, who are incredible men and women to be around. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling like God's presence has left you, find one of these incredible saints. Sit down with them over coffee. Take them out to lunch. Invite them over to your house. Be real with them. And maybe they can help you see God, not only in them, but recapture that presence in your life. Pray for that. God, I want your presence in my life again. Fill me. Use me. Mold me. And help me to get unstuck from where I am at right now. There's a couple of commentators that see this section as, especially verse 3, as David is sick. He's nearing death. There's this line that says, "Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." And oftentimes that type of poetry in Hebrew is used to express some sort of sickness. Now I wonder, are we catching David at the dire need, or has he expressed this before? But I believe there's an important spiritual principle for us. Don't wait until you're near death to ask God for help. He's there right now. He's there, and he loves on Father's Day of all days. He's a good, good father, and he loves to hear from you, his children, even your laments, even your anger, even the deepest of your emotions. But don't wait. Don't wait until there's a massive crisis. Learn the discipline of connecting with God so that when you enter that valley of the shadow of death, you will know for certain that his rod and his staff are there to comfort you. Last point. Trust in God for the outcome in his time, in his way. You know, sometimes God chooses to answer our prayers right away and in the way that we desired. And that's amazing. You've probably done that. You've probably seen that in our prayer chain. We have prayed for people's health. We've prayed for people in car accidents. We've prayed for certain situations. And God moves powerfully and divinely, miraculously. And we praise God for that. But what happens when you pray and you don't see that answer? Well, there comes a point where you need to turn that to trust. You've laid out before God your request. You have expressed your heart to him. And in his time and in his way, he's going to answer that prayer. Why? Because he's a faithful God. He listens to his children. He loves you dearly. And he wants to intervene. But only in his sovereign way is he going to do that. David doesn't stay stuck in his lament. He turns in verse 5, But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. It's almost as if David, though expressing the depths of his heart, it's like this choice has been made and he has to force himself. All right, but I have. You know what? Despite the turmoil, the difficulties, which didn't go away, evidently, David chooses to trust in God, for he's proven himself trustworthy time and time again. What do you do when you're in that moment? What can we remember about the character of God when you're in that lament psalm? Well, three things that I would throw out. First, you know what? The feelings of abandonment can be real and painful. And they should actually produce laments. And they should actually produce questions to God. You know what? God is never shaken by our questions. Ask God anything. He's a big God. He can handle your questions. He can handle your lament. These feelings that you have, this abandonment that you feel, the situation that you're in, the pain is real. And I want to acknowledge and affirm that. Express it to God. He's never shaken. He's not saying, well, now that question's off limits. No. Be real with God. Second, difficulties and pain are not always to be seen as a result of some failing on our part. Even the righteous suffer. Let me just throw out this idea that being a Christian means that we will be blessed all the time and we will live happily ever after. That is not the promise of Scripture. The promise of Scripture is, I will be with you, God says, even through pain and suffering. The promise is, I will be with you. Even in the difficulties of life, I will be with you in loss. I will be with you when you lose a job. I will be with you when your loved one gets cancer. I will be with you when your marriage is in difficult situations. I will be with you, God says. But it's not that these difficulties and pain are always a result of some failing on our part. The righteous suffer. If we take out suffering out of the Bible, we have a very thin Bible. And God gave us the complete Word of God. And He wants us to know that. And also, what do we need to remember? God is worthy of trusting Him, even when we do not feel Him. See, this is why the Lament Psalm turns back to God's previous actions. See, the Lament Psalm and the descriptive praise that we talked about a few weeks ago, they're actually a mirror. Whereas a descriptive praise is going back and praising God for how He's working and remembering the pain, this is the mirror of that. We are in pain, and we need to remember now how God has worked. The Lament Psalm and the Descriptive Praise Song complement each other. We need both. After we get through a season and we see God work mightily, we need to praise God for who He is and what He has done. In a Lament Psalm, we need to remember who He is and His promises. In a Lament Psalm, we need to go back to His Word and say, yet but the Lord has been faithful in the past. Will He not now? I find this amazing. Without any evidence that the situation has changed, David chooses to praise God. Your eyes may be drenched with tears. Your heart may be crushed. Your situation may be unchanged. But you have a choice of how you're going to respond. And even though the storm rages around you, God does care. God does love you profoundly. You know, all the evidence around you, even your feelings may say that God does not care. But go back to the truth of who God is and what the Word of God says. All the evidence may say, even your own feelings may say, God does not care. And that's where the written Word of God is so helpful. I want to throw out a few truths about who God is. They're in your insert. I'd encourage you, go back to them this week. This is a truth of God. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's who He is. God said in Jeremiah 33, 7, 9. Now look at the context of that. This is Israel's captivity. And He says this, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all their guilt, from their sin against me. And I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and a glory before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. Jesus Himself says, John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He did that for you and for me. This is a truth of the Scriptures. Last, 1 John 4, 9 through 10, In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. These are the truths of who God is. And from time to time, we need to go back to the scriptures and we need to say, this is truth about who God is. I may not feel it. My circumstances might be pressing in on me, but we need to go back to the truth of who God is. Your situation may have real pain. You might have real difficulties. You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned by God. You might even question your faith. All of this is okay. But remember these three things. Speak your complaint to God. Take it directly to him. Ask God for specific help in the valley. Trust in God for the outcome in his time and his way. God loves you very much. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. Even in the most difficult times of life, he did promise in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear, for what can man do to me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in the lowest valley, you are there with us. On the highest mountaintop, you are there with us. Thank you that you are not shaken, that when we pour out a lament, you are gracious to hear, impatient with our complaint, and loving to answer. May we trust you, the creator and the sustainer of this earth, with our complaints. We love you.